So greetings, everyone. It's your favorite host of TES Talks Radio, Marissa True and Stu Elms. Hey, Stu.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Marissa. Lovely rainy day here in Vancouver. How are you?
Oh, it's a crisp morning in Singapore, but I'm feeling a little under the weather. So weather's dubious on all fronts, I think. So for today's episode, we're joined by none other than Max Wolf, who is the lead for NFTs and digital licensing at McLaren Racing. So hi, Max. Thanks for joining us all the way from London at an obscene hour to record this episode.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be here. As you said, you know, it's 1 a.m. It's dark outside, but I'm full of energy. We're coming out of a big weekend with the Miami GP, and yeah, I'm excited to be on the show, talk about McLaren, digital collectibles, Tezos, get into all that fun stuff.
Right on.
Love the spirit and the attitude you're bringing to the table. And of course, McLaren Racing actually needs no introduction whatsoever. It's one of the most iconic automotive and racing brands worldwide. And assuming you haven't been living under a rock, and by you, I mean our audience, you would likely also know that McLaren Racing's been has selected Tezos as its official blockchain partner across Formula One, IndyCar, and its esports teams. It's also working with Sweet to build out all of its NFT offerings exclusively on Tezos. And I mean, it goes without saying that we're really excited about this partnership. So today we're going to learn a lot more about how McLaren Racing is actually harnessing Tezos technology. But first of all, we want to talk about you. And I think the easy question is what your background is and how you actually found yourself leading the charge for NFTs and digital licensing at McLaren.
Yeah, so kind of a, you know, interesting story. I got into it in a bit of a roundabout way. My background actually comes from the world of startups. So I'm a lifelong like motorsport fan. Motorsport has been a passion of mine, you know, ever since I saw my first episode of Top Gear when I was a little kid. But I came from the world of startups. And so I did my undergraduate university in Canada where I studied economics. And then after that, I co-founded an athletic apparel brand with a friend of mine. And after we did that brand, I was employee number one at a healthcare technology startup. So got some experience with like, you know, getting projects off the ground and seeing how to build brands and like build sort of ecosystems. And then in 2021, I did my MBA at Oxford, and I took that time to like really reflect on, you know, what I was doing and try and use that opportunity to like have a pivot in my career and, take that opportunity to pursue my passion, which was motorsport. Obviously too, like during, you know, 2021, the NFT world, just exploded. Blockchain was on the top of everyone's minds. And I really just started to dive down the rabbit hole, honestly. Got super into crypto, NFTs, blockchain, did some projects on it for my MBA, for my graduate degree. And then, yeah, once the course began to wrap up, I just started searching for how can I combine these two passions of blockchain and motorsport. I ended up getting connected to somebody at the FIA, which is like Formula One's governing body. So sort of like analogous to FIFA for football, you know, FIA for motorsport. And then from there, my CV just got bounced around on a chain of referrals until eventually ended up with McLaren. And I saw they were hiring for someone to lead their NFT program. And yeah, I knew it was a match made in heaven. I applied for the role, and yeah, the rest is history. Here I am today with you guys.
So, I mean, clearly you have always had a very entrepreneurial mindset, and you've applied that to budding industries. And in that, I mean, your job title itself is very new age. It's something that could have only existed at the advent of blockchain technology. These job roles didn't exist, you know, just a few years ago. So can you talk us through what a typical day looks like for you?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. This job definitely did not exist a few years ago. I still have trouble, honestly, getting my grandparents to understand what I do. But I think they're getting there. So yeah, in terms of what I do day in the life, my role is pretty broad. And, you know, I think it's almost cliche to say this at this point, but like there is no typical day, really. I think like a lot, so, you know, I lead the ideation for the types of drops, releases that we want to do, things our fan might fans might find engaging, what utilities we want to aim to provide to the fans around these drops, and, you know, try to stitch this all into like a cohesive schedule that makes sense from the fan perspective and also like reflects things like the race calendar and what's going on in the motorsport world. And, you know, just trying to like do something that delivers real value and like meaningful engagement. Then also, you know, handling the execution of this plan. So that means coordinating with Sweet, our marketplace partner, working with Tezos as well, working on with our like internal social, digital, creative teams to get whatever assets we need produced and necessary to like help promote and market the drop. Work with comms to help craft messaging around the drops and, you know, make sure the release and the rollout happens smoothly. Also, a big part of my job is staying on top of trends in the NFT world, always trying to see around the corner what the next big thing is and how can we best integrate that into our program and you know, provide our fans always like a best-in-class experience. Personally, I'm really bullish on like AR and metaverse experiences, so really looking at ways to like, you know, how we can incorporate those elements into our program right now. I also manage our Discord server too. So lots of time spent on Discord and you know, doing cool things like merch giveaways, stage channel lives with people from across the McLaren ecosystem. So yeah, come check us out. Come hang out on Discord if you ever get the chance.
Well, it sounds like you might as the McLaren was already hiring for this role when you became involved. You might not have been part of this conversation, but you may still have some insight here. I'm wondering what informs a brand like McLaren to make the decision to move into the blockchain arena? Like why would McLaren feel like establishing a foothold in this space should be a priority?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of reasons behind it. A lot of it is really tied to like our brand values and our brand identity. So, you know, like McLaren, our history of success, it all comes from innovation, right? Both on and off the track. And we always want to be at the cutting edge, pioneering ways to, you know, stay at the front of the grid and get back to the front of the grid. And I think in terms of blockchain, like we recognize the potential for this technology to really affect like ways of working going forwards and in the future, but also as a way to deliver like new experiences to fans and engage the next generation of Papaya fans. And that's something that's really important to us too, because, you know, we love our fans and without them, there would be no motor racing. So yeah, I think like moving into this blockchain arena is just all about, you know, pursuing innovation and engaging fans and just providing the best experience that we can.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So the official announcement of Tezos as McLaren's blockchain of choice came about a year ago. In the time that's passed since, what kind of blockchain-based offerings has McLaren Racing released?
Yeah, so we've done a couple things so far. Right now, we have our digital collectibles NFT program all minted on Tezos, and it's sold through McLarenRacingCollective.com, so go check it out. We started off by breaking up our 2021 F1 car, the MCL35M, into 22 different parts, and then we offered fans the chance to collect all these parts. And the first 35 people to complete a full set of the 22 parts then received like a complete car. Mm. And we debuted this back in late October, early November of 2021 around the US Grand Prix in Austin. All the parts that we released them as interactive 3D models that you could like spin and explore. And honestly, like the level of detail on these parts was astounding. We used authentic like CAD data to model these parts, slightly tweaked, I will say, so, you know, like to protect our proprietary aerodynamics.
Of course
but we used CAD data and yeah, the detail in the parts was awesome. The demand for this release was really strong and the fan response was great. And so we followed it up by releasing our fan favorite Gulf liveried MCL35M in sort of the same release format, broken into different parts that, you know, you could assemble to make a complete car. The Golf Livery car is awesome, and that's the car we raced at Monaco in 2021. And we also trialed like a new open edition format for that drop as well. So rather than limiting it to only 35 people could complete a car, we limited it by time. So there was a 24-hour window where people could purchase as many parts as they want in order to complete the car. And then other releases we've done so far have been things like driver cards. So sort of like a Top Trump style card, but for our drivers, summating their like 2021 season. And we've done like a really cool custom animation for Daniel Ricciardo to celebrate the Australia GP, you know, his home race and his return back there. And the last thing we did is so far we've done some really awesome helmets that we've airdropped to like our car owners. And we've done like custom designs for the helmets based off of like important moments throughout the season. So we've done one for team launch. We've done one for Miami. We've done one in the Golf Livery, and got to keep it a bit secret, but there's a couple more cool ones to come too.
Right on.
Yeah.
I like how McLaren basically experimented with the idea of using time pressure rather than scarcity to encourage people to collect the cars at a faster pace. But then, as we mentioned before, when we speak of McLaren racing, we're not exclusively talking about Formula One. There's also IndyCar and eSports. So do you, or can you share any perspectives on basically how you're differentiating the offerings between each of those pillars? And what's coming up outside of Formula One?
Yeah, so one of the things that I really am focused on is trying to provide like a differentiated and authentic experience to each fan group. So, you know, in Formula One, a big part of the sport is that each team designs and manufactures their own components. And so that's why we broke up our car into these components to give fans like a chance to really get up close and personal with these different parts of these different elements of the car that make up our Challenger. And then for IndyCar, you know, it's a bit different because the cars use all listed parts. So instead of going down that route where we break the car into parts, we wanted to focus on something that's authentic and important to indie fans. So that's why, and I can talk more about this in a bit, but we have our first IndyCar release coming up, and that's going to be centered around our Indy 500 challengers, our Indy 500 cars. And you know, the Indy 500 is obviously like motorsport's crown jewel. It's the crown jewel of Indy. And then for esports, we wanted to really gamify the experience, be authentic to our esports, our gaming fans. And so I'm really excited that we're planning to utilize POAPs for the first time. So, you know, proof of attendance protocols through our McLaren Shadow esports team Twitch streams as a way to allow our fans to like collect tokens that will act as sort of like allow list tokens to then purchase esports NFTs. So, you know, really trying to just be authentic to the differences between each race series and offer fans like an experience that's unique to that.
So, I mean, McLaren's clearly working on a lot, but at the same time, it was also very much one of the first racing teams to begin thinking about how blockchain could work in its favor from both a tech perspective and a branding perspective. But from your perspective, like what went into the decision to integrate Tezos technology specifically? Like what were some of the deciding factors when evaluating blockchains?
Yeah. So when we decide at when we go into a partnership at McLaren, you know, our partners, they're more than just stickers on the car. Whenever we partner with somebody, we really want to make sure that we both share the same values. And Tezos do just that. They share the same values as McLaren. Firstly, there's the sustainability aspect. It's a priority for us at McLaren. And, you know, Tezos has the energy efficiency and environmental friendliness built into it with, you know, the way the protocol works. So it's a natural partnership in that sense. And then also like on another level, I think there's the idea of continuous innovation, right? That like Tezos is designed from the start to always be amendable and always be upgrading and innovating. And it's the same thing with a race car, right? Like, you're always upgrading, always changing, always striving to be the best you can and competitive. And so just the fact that we really share those values as a partner, I think it's a good match.
And McLaren is considerably early into the game when it comes to blockchain technology and branding. And we're seeing a lot of other sports brands start to flood this space as well. So how do you actually think this is going to reshape how people interact with the teams that they support? Like, how is the space going to evolve past, you know, digital collectibles like NFTs?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question and, something I'm super excited about. I think more broadly, like with sports and Web3, it's going to fundamentally change the way that fans can interact with their teams and change the way, or sort of like enhance the way that they feel about their teams, which is really important. You know, it'll bring them a feeling of closeness, and it'll like really improve the access they have to the teams. This can come through different ways. So for example, you know, we're all familiar with like the fan token application, where people can use them to vote and like influence actions of the club. I think going forward, like, you'll have NFTs that grant you access to certain experiences. I think, you know, these will be tradable assets as well among fans. I think you'll also see things where people are able to collect a digital inventory of items from participating in physical experiences, like so through POAPs and stuff like that. Your sports memorabilia collectors will start to be digital as well as like the traditional physical. I think just generally bringing people closer to the teams that they want through these like novel applications of Web3, that's really where I see the future going.
Well, when we look at those sort of specific aspects of Web3 that apply to McLaren and the stuff you're working on, that's one thing. But I'm really curious, just as somebody who, as you say, has gone down this rabbit hole and who is actively working in this space, what are your views on what Web3 and the metaverse will really represent in our daily lives?
So, yeah, I mean, I think obviously there's huge potential for Web3 and metaverse to touch all aspects of our daily lives. I think like with you guys, with this audience, I don't need to sit here and like tout the potential. I think, you know, we're all bought in. But for me, I think I see the potential to like collect an inventory of digital items as being really important, and like sort of amass this digital inventory that you can take with you from, you know, your social media site to your favorite sports team to the metaverse where you spend your time, and like being able to move items around your digital profile, like your digital world. I think that's going to be big. And with the other, you know, I also see in the future, we spend much more time with our digital self and with our digital profile rather than the physical one. And sort of the lines between those, you know, physical world that we live in and the digital world that we experience beginning to blur a bit more. One thing I think we still need to figure out as like a Web3 community is, how do we effectively bridge the gap between these like digital and physical worlds? So, you know, for example, right now, like with POAPs, like you're scanning, a lot of the times you're scanning a QR code. Is there a way to make that experience like more immersive, more fluid? One of the applications you often read about with like smart contracts is that there's a potential for them to like replace hotel keys, right? That like when you deposit money somewhere, then all of a sudden your hotel room door unlocks. But I think there's a lot of questions there on like how, or you know, smart contracts like replacing deeds to a house. But there's a lot of questions there on like how does the smart contract in the digital world then, you know, ensure the interaction with the physical asset? And so I think once we're able to get a bit further on like bridging that gap between digital and physical, we're really going to see Web3 take off, and the power of it is really going to be unleashed.
Well, you mentioned when you're talking about bridging that gap, you mentioned that you're quite excited about augmented reality tech. Do you think that there's a big opportunity for brands like yours in that, with that technology?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of experiences that we could bring to fans that I'm excited about. You know, with right now, our fans can't really sit in an F1 car, but with AR, what if we could give that experience to our people who own the cars, the chance to, you know, use their mobile device, sit in their living room, and they're looking around and they feel like they're right there with the driver in the car watching the race. We do something in our garage called Cars Out, which is where people can stand in the back of the garage when the cars are fired up, and when they exit the garage to go out for, you know, practice or for the race. And like, it's such an incredible experience. You know, you feel it in your chest when the engines turn on and you hear the tires screech, and like, it's awesome. But we're limited by the space of the garage, right? Like, only 7 people can fit back there or whatever it is. So what if we, like, through these AR experiences, if we could bring fans in, and suddenly, you know, there's a race happening in Singapore, the night race, but you're a fan in Australia and you're able to be right there with us. I think that potential is awesome. And, you know, it just goes back to what I was saying earlier about you know, these sports partnerships, like, and Web3, the important part of it is bringing fans in and making people feel closer to the teams that they love. So really excited about the potential of AR to facilitate that.
I like how McLaren Racing is basically striking the balance of finding, like, granting these exclusive experiences to the diehard fans who are actively collecting these digital items, but also making or using this technology to make it more accessible to those who can't necessarily be there or necessarily buy a ticket to participate during the race. But at the same time, I completely agree with you about trying to work out the seamlessness of the online to offline experience in terms of how a brand uses blockchain technology, and also how this is going to reflect not in terms of a legal sense, but basically how smart contracts in the blockchain space map out onto the real world as well, and vice versa. And then how a brand like McLaren Racing is going to innovate with that understanding. But you mentioned earlier, and also a little birdie told us, that there is another NFT project dropping very soon. So I wanted to ask if you could share more details about that.
Yes. So I am very excited to announce that we do have our first ever IndyCar digital collectibles release coming out. It's dropping next Saturday, Saturday the 21st of May. And this is the first time that I've publicly announced this drop. So you guys are getting the real exclusive inside scoop here. Breaking news hot off the press. But basically, so later this month, it's going to be the 106th running of the Indy 500, which, as I said, is, you know, often referred to as motorsport's crown jewel. We have 3 cars entered into this race, the number 5, 6, and 7 Aero McLaren SP cars. They're going to be driven by Pato O'Ward, Juan Pablo Montoya, and Felix Rosenqvist. And this year, we're really lucky. We have a special livery designed for each of the 3 cars, designed by the legendary brand Undefeated. Last year, we partnered with them, and they designed one of our cars. But this year, they're back and designing all 3, and they look awesome. So we're going to be releasing 3D renders of each one of the cars for our fans to collect. It's going to be very limited drop, very exclusive. It's the 106th running of the event, so we're only doing 106 cars in total, 35 of each of the 3 cars, 36 of one of them. And yeah, it's going to be the first time that fans are able to own the Indy cars that we're putting on track in the digital world. So really excited about this one.
So May 21st is something that everyone needs to lock into their calendars. And yeah. I mean, I know we're honored to be the exclusive releasers of that scoop. So that's great. Thank you very much. So how else can fans get involved beyond, you know, buying these NFTs?
Yeah, so there's no pre-registration necessary for this drop. It's going to be first come, first served. So follow our Arrow McLaren SP channels to learn about when it's coming out. Join us on Discord, discord.gg/McLaren. You can keep up with all of this. Yeah, who knows? If you join our Discord, mention that you heard me on this, maybe I'll send a signed Lando cap to the first person who does that. So come check us out on Discord, discord.gg/McLaren. Yeah, stay up to date with the release. As I said, there's not going to be an allow list for this one. It's going to be first come, first serve. So the people who are on it are going to be the ones who are able to catch the cars.
Other than those that slide you a DM.
Yeah, exactly. telling me the funniest jokes, you know, maybe there's a allow list spot reserved for that.
We'll frame that as the challenge. Tell Max a funny joke, and if he laughs, maybe you'll get some privilege.
Yeah, funny IndyCar joke.
So with 106 of them in play, that is a very limited release. So is it exclusively through the Discord channel that people can get the opportunity to get their hands on one?
No. So like I said, there's no allow list. So we're going to be releasing it through McLarenRacingCollective.com. That's our website where we sell our NFTs. McLarenRacingCollective.com. That's going to be the purchase site, and you'll be able to find the link, through our Discord or through our McLaren social channels. We're going to put the links out as well. We're going to have some of our drivers to posting some videos on our social channels. So the word's going to be out. It's going to go fast.
How many seconds is it going to take for 106 of them to be gone?
Hopefully. Yeah. Honestly, I have no idea. Hopefully less than 106 seconds.
Does your team have any other exciting projects in the works that you can tease us with a bit? What can your fans look forward to from you in the months ahead?
Yeah. So again, first time I've said any of this publicly, so giving away the inside scoop, but we're going to also debut some esports drops, an esport drop later in the summer, going, along with these POAPs, just protocols distributed through our Twitch streams. And then there's a couple other projects that we're working on. Don't want to say too much yet, but the point of them is really to give people an opportunity to display all of these things that they've been collecting through our McLaren Racing Collective program, and sort of showcase all the work they've done in amassing this awesome collection of, McLaren collectibles. And then also something that I'm really personally interested in is, as McLaren, we have this amazing history in motorsport, and we have iconic cars starting all the way from the 60s. So I'd really love to get some of our heritage content up into the digital world. And I think that marriage of, heritage motorsport presented in the most cutting edge technological way would be really cool. So got something for that in the back burners as well.
That's great. So as I mentioned earlier, we're approximately a year deep on this sort of larger, this partnership with Tezos as the blockchain of choice for McLaren. How have you found the experience of working with people in this ecosystem to be?
Oh, honestly, I've loved it. In this job, I've been really fortunate to work with people from across the ecosystem, different Tezos-based projects, marketplaces, wallets. And the one thing I can say is everyone is so excited about the future. Everyone is so just friendly and they want to help. Everybody wants to collaborate. I think everybody recognizes that the more we work together, the better this all becomes. I've had a great experience just you know, trying to work with people to figure out like what the best way to add value for everyone in the whole ecosystem is. And also learning more about Tezos too, because, you know, as I've come into this role, I've definitely learned a lot more about the ecosystem, learned more about what we have going on here. And as a consequence, I'm really excited for the future. I think we're all going somewhere great.
I mean, as two members of the ecosystem in this podcast, that sounds great to us.
Yeah. We love
good
hearing
to know
that.
We're nice.
Yeah. You guys are great.
Feel free to stroke our ego as much as you like.
Am I invited back? Can I come back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. We'd love to hear about everything that you guys are going to be dropping and launching, and we'd love to talk about it on here. So you're welcome back absolutely anytime. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we love talking to people working behind the scenes to build things on Tezos as their blockchain of choice. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention before we sign off here?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just like to say, like here at McLaren, we really do believe in digital collectibles and you know, NFTs and the future of like these blockchain and Web3 technologies to engage fans and bring the fans closer together and closer to us, you know. So please do continue to keep an eye on what we're doing, McLarenRacingCollective.com. Please come and join us on our Discord. I'm in there, and that's where you'll be able to stay in, you know, current on all our projects. So we have some cool stuff coming up, and yeah, I hope you'll all join us.
Amazing. Thanks. Thanks again for being here. Thanks everybody for tuning in. I'm Stu. That's Marissa. And that's Max. Have
a good day. Yeah. Thanks everybody.